I appeal, he says, to Caesar. Now, Paul was going through the proper system. And when they had a thorough investigation, the conclusion was this of the judgment made about Paul in verse 31 of Acts 26. Acts 26:31. They said, this man is doing nothing worthy of death or chains. So because we're on that subject, I thought I'd better balance the whole thing to show how the Christians through prayer began to show. Now, people who do not know about true Christianity and what it's like, don't realize what a blessing it can be. Like Jesus dying on the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they have done. They are the best people you could have on earth. The best citizens you could have for any country. Loyal, obedient, character-based, loving, tolerant. And as we learn our place to be the salt of the earth, to be a blessing, this can take place. In the book of Acts, and look at how they deal with opposition. Don't deal with it the wrong way like many Christians are doing. See, I never believe that it's right for Christians to go eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand. Jesus said that if somebody smite us on the cheek, rightly or wrongly, you give the other cheek. That is true Christianity. Pseudo-Christianity is you punch me, I punch you. You sue me, I sue you. But do you know Christians are the meekest people on earth? We never rely on natural methods. We will use Roman citizenship and natural methods for protection, for good, but never for evil. That's true Christianity. Which is why, if any nation on earth understand what true Christianity is, they will be blessed to have true Christians. We become contributors and blessings. And look at how they handle opposition. This is what I like. In Acts chapter 9, the biggest opposer was Apostle Saul himself last time, before he became Paul. Now look at what happened in Acts. People talk about persecution, helping the church. But look at what happened in Acts 9. They never read the whole of the Bible. In Acts 9, it says, in verse 31, look at what Acts 9:31 says. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee and Samaria had peace. Do you know why they had peace? Saul was converted. That's what true Christianity is. You win them by your love. Hallelujah. They could kill you, shoot you, tear you apart, cut you in pieces. And like David Wilkerson said to Nikki Cruz, remember that story, the cross and the switchblade. He went to the streets of New York where no other people would go because he loved those people there. Those kids who never heard about Jesus, never heard the message of love. And Nikki Cruz took out that knife and wanted to kill him. And David Wilkerson said, you could cut me into 1,000 pieces and every piece would still say, I love you. Do you know he couldn't handle that kind of love? How can you cut out somebody who say you cut in 1,000 pieces, every piece say I love you? Instead of having one I love you, now you got 1,000 of them. He couldn't handle it. That's what true Christianity is. We talk about the love of God. We respond, we repay evil with good. Never repay eye for eye. That's Old Testament. The sad thing is that many Christians are living in a New Testament with a New Testament heart, but Old Testament methods and shell. And that's why there are problems everywhere they go. But when we learn what true Christianity is, and we can become a blessing to people at large. See, because we are talking about Acts 4 and Acts 5 opposition, we are showing how, when you look at the whole context of Acts, the Christians pray their opposers into the kingdom. They never pray judgment. They pray them in. Oh, hallelujah. If we understand the work of God. We see here that as the church grew in Acts 6, slowly the ministry goes on to the second line. You see, every success needs a successor. It is not a successful ministry or successful church or successful meeting until when the one who starts it has a successor. And in Acts 6, there is a change as you see the flow. See, we are dealing with the general flow. Where before, just to show you, in Acts 2, you find in verse 42, they learn about the apostles' doctrine. Then in Acts 3 is the apostles doing all the work. In Acts 4, the apostles are also doing all the work. In Acts 4:33, with great power, the apostles, that's the 12 of them, gave witness. The apostles give witness. Then Acts 5, verse 12, through the hands of the apostles. Suddenly in Acts 6, there's a change. The anointing is now imparted to the next line. And in Acts 6, after they appointed the seven deacons, in verse 8, Stephen, full of faith and power, did wonders and signs. No more the apostles. Now the next line comes up. They are now able to do these things. And they don't have to wait till the apostles die. While the apostles were there, they could do those things. Hallelujah. And that's what I believe. It's the truth of our impartation is you don't have to wait till the person is about to die or die and then the other person starts. They should let the others start. And they begin to do everything that the apostles did. In the book of Acts, we see here in Acts chapter 8, verse 5 and 6, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Look, the Spirit is now no more just with the apostles. The power and the anointing is no more with the apostles. It's with all those people. Now the apostles still got the power. But now it's spread out to the others. They are now in the key frontline ministry. There's a change that takes place. And they have moved now from Acts chapter 1 to 5. It was baby church. And you learn about all the things that baby church must be. Now, if you're going to be very honest, after you read the first 5 chapters and see what a baby church did, you think that you're an embryo church. Right. They have all kinds of revival. All kinds of revival. Powerful revivals. Then they went into the mature church. What the mature church is where they began to raise up other fivefold ministries. You see, in Acts chapter 11, which was the same time as these things happening, in verse 19 it says, and those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. Then verse 27, in these days, Now, the same time as the Stephen and Philip were coming up in the ministry, in these days, prophets came from Jerusalem. So you see that the church grows into a mature church. A mature church is where it has its own ministry, and then a very mature church is where the ministry start going out to other places. So the fivefold doesn't need to come in. In the early days of the Asian church, we have needed a lot of these missionaries to come and tell us the gospel. But the Asian church has risen where you have national ministers to minister at the same level of those people who come and perhaps take it further. But we still need the fellowship of the body of Christ throughout the world. But we realize that the Asian church has matured, where Asia has produced its own fivefold ministries. There are many good ones going out from Singapore, all over Asia. And they produce their own, and they're going forth. And that's why you call the church maturing. Now here, it is one single church. And we see that when we look at it on a smaller local scale, then every individual church will start usually with a minister who is called of God, and then they started off, either they came from another fellowship, came from somewhere, they sent by somewhere, came from somewhere, but they did come from somewhere. And then they start something. And then that something grows. People are born again, converted. And through involved in those growth, there will be those that begin to come up, that rise up into ministries. So a baby church is a church that needs dependence on outside ministries. Whether the local church that needs the other outer urban areas to help, or a church that needs further missionaries to come in. Then it grows into a young church, mature church. And that's when it has its own ministries. Then it grows into what I call a father or mother church, where it begins to send out those ministries out of where they are. The Antioch church came out the same way. Antioch church was started by foreign missionaries from Jerusalem. It was Barnabas and Saul who went there. But before them, there were all the others who also went and preached the gospel. So they sent key leaders in. The Antioch church grew in Acts 11 until Acts 13, verse 1 and 2. You have prophets and teachers in that church. Then they started sending ministries out. Barnabas and Saul started going out. So it went into a third stage. So the development, but we can see the transition. Finally, the last part of the first section, you notice a change in the apostles' ministry. Now the apostles, as more the church has grown into a mother or father church with many outlets, they change their ministry into itinerant ministries. They were sensitive in the spirit to do that. Why? Because the local ministry was already taken so well by the others. How opposite from a modern church, where it so depends on one person that if the person were to just leave, the whole thing falls apart. That's not the kind of church God wants. That's still a baby church. It's just a big kindergarten, that's all. Everyone has small children. A real growing church is where the main leader, if the main leader leaves, it still can go on. That's maturity. I mean, your children cannot be considered true functional adults if they cannot function without you. So children grow up into adults, and then they will learn to make their own decisions. They cannot be always calling you and say, Ma, Pa, do you think I should take this job? Do you think I should? They can ask for counsel, ask for advice. But when they begin to ask you, do you think I can have kway teow for lunch? You know you have a problem. When they don't know how to make any decisions. They haven't grown. They have just become bigger. Some churches haven't grown, they just become bigger. So, we are wanting to be balanced. Some people argue for quality, some for quantity. So, oh, numbers are nothing. Hold on, numbers are important too. Because if you have a church that's 50, after 1 year become 2,